5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, you doing okay? I kind of know how you feel, Summer.
No, you don't. You're the little brother. You're not the cause of your parents' misery. You're just a symptom of it.
Can I show you something?
Morty, no offense, but a drawing of me you made when you were 8 isn't going to make me feel like less of an accident.
That out there? That's my grave.
Wait, what?
On one of our adventures, Rick and I basically destroyed the whole world. So we bailed on that reality, and we came to this one. Because in this one, the world wasn't destroyed. And in this one, we were dead. So we came here, and we buried ourselves, and we took their place. And every morning, Summer, I eat breakfast 20 yards away from my own rotting corpse.
So, you're not my brother?
I'm better than your brother. I'm a version of your brother you can trust when he says, don't run. Nobody exists on purpose. Nobody belongs anywhere. Everybody's gonna die. Come watch TV.
I'm sorry.
Welcome to Storm of Spoilers Off-Season Tour. My name is Dave Gonzalez from the Fighting in the War Room podcast, and if I had a memory parasite from the Total Recall episode of Rick and Morty, I would have Tiny Cowboy Riding a Dog attached to me.
And I'm Neil Miller, also from the One Perfect Pod podcast, and if I had a parasite riding on me, I would want it to be Scarface Bear. Because it combines two things that I think are pretty great. And you may have noticed that there's not a person announcing themselves in between Dave and I this week. That means that Joanna is off, which means that we have a special guest.
Sorry, folks.
Yes, he is the co-host of a podcast called High and Outside. It's about baseball. He is also a contributor to Film School Rejects. And probably the number two biggest Rick and Morty fan that I know, behind Dave, I think. It probably goes Dave, you, then me. His name is Theo Broxson. Theo, who's your parasite?
Hey, folks. I would be a photography raptor because I have no business taking photos or doing photos, but I would do them anyway and probably buy some way too expensive equipment.
Right. As soon as you figure out how to open doors, I think you'd be in good shape.
I mean, do you need to know how to open a door to, like, pull a lever on? I mean, pushing buttons or, like, pulling a lever on
not on one of those old-style
old camera.
Cameras,
yeah, exactly. Sure. I mean, so I think I'm on something here. Anyway.
And we, of course, are going to be talking about Rick and Morty as we've assembled the people that we know that love Rick and Morty the most. I recently got to meet Theo, and we met at the airport, and the way we were introduced to each other is, hey, I'm wearing a Rick and Morty hoodie, and he's like, I'm wearing a Rick and Morty shirt. And then we were hanging out by the baggage claim, and people thought we were like a unified front to like a programming team because we were coordinated in Rick and Morty outfits.
Right, because it was doing South by Southwest, so people were like, oh my god, are they screening Rick and Morty?
Yeah, everybody assumed we were some sort of like creative team that was together like for Rick and Morty, and it was like, no, actually, I just met this guy, and I'm picking him up from the airport, but
we're both cool.
Anyway, your project sounds awesome.
But usually, on Storm of Spoilers, we have Joanna read reviews around this time. Joanna's not here, so we got Neil to delve into the reviews, and he found one that maybe Joanna's been skipping over. Neil?
Yes, I wanted to find one that would be one, the kind of review that Joanna would never read because she's hashtag humble. So I'm going to read it because I'm not humble in any way, and I like embarrassing things. Okay, so here we go. This one is from Joe Did Not Write This, is the name of the person. So there you go. Joanna Robinson is smarter than me, says my father with two master's degrees at least monthly. My dad introduced me to Joanna Robinson through a cast of Kings during season 5 of Game of Thrones, and I've followed her across the podcasting spectrum since then. She consistently provides our favorite insight into some of our favorite shows. I've also tried to follow Dave around, but this seems to be him at his best, in my opinion. P.S. I'm a little bitter that Joanna incorrectly guessed that GOT would be coming back on my birthday this year, and I got my hopes up. Well, this got sad real quick. However, since she was only a week off and made Westworld make sense / enjoyable, I guess I can forgive her. Also, she endured watching the ice melt for us and shared the highlights over Twitter. Keep up the good work. P.P.S. This review is taking a lot more effort than I anticipated. 0 out of 5 stars for iTunes. I wish I could send y'all a review through Overcast. Overcast, also my favorite podcast listening app. So,
well, I just want to go ahead and send an apology out to that person for not being Joanna and replacing her for this episode of the podcast. I'm horribly sorry. I am not Joanna. I do not do what she does.
You know what, though? You have an advantage. You're also not Matt Patches. So I think our listeners will be okay with this.
Fair. A fair assessment and also a throwback to a previous episode.
What?
Of craziness.
It's like we're in a multiverse.
Yeah. Usually this is where I transition from not Neil talking, Neil talking. But we're all mixed up here for Neil's third segment, things we've talked about.
Yes.
Neil, I hear some big purchases have been made.
Yes. Bigger than I expected, but this is because I waited too long. The Con of Thrones ticket watch is over. And with apologies to United Airlines, I did not book through them. I booked.
Which, by the way, they will not give an apology to you.
Right. No, they don't care, which is fine. I am going to be coming to Con of Thrones, and I'm not going to be dragged off my airplane. And I have purchased my ticket, so I'm ready. I'm ready to get there. If anyone is getting in early to Con of Thrones, like Thursday, I'll be there Thursday. I believe Dave is shooting to be there Thursday, so we'll be down on the ground, ready for some hot chicken and some party time.
That hot chicken, something to talk about, man.
This is what they tell me. Also on the news of things we talked about, we're going to suspend, unless something big breaks, the talk of Game of Thrones for the next couple of weeks. And I'll tell you why. It is because starting on the week of the 23rd, so this is, we got 5 more episodes. So basically the second to last week in May, we are going to start our big Re-Thrones podcast project, in which we will shift from the off-season tour officially. And on our way back to the Citadel of Crazy Town, we will be stopping at every single season along the way. So we'll have 6 episodes, 1 for each season. And we will kind of wrap that up with our live show at Con of Thrones the first week of July. Then, some folks are really going to like this. We're going to be doing a production spoiler special that is a preview of season 7 with all of the most salacious production spoilers that we can fit into one episode. And we're just going to keep it all contained into that one little thing. So I think, we haven't decided what the live show at Count of Thrones is going to be yet, but it probably won't involve spoiling heavy rumors and stuff. It would probably be a light smattering of spoilers so that we don't start a riot or anything.
Yeah,
but
we do not want to start a riot.
Right.
The Con of Thrones.
Especially because I'm looking to meet my soulmate at Con of Thrones. I don't know if you guys follow me on Twitter, but that's my goal. And then that leads us right up to season 7. So that, we got a couple more fun episodes. We'll be announcing those as we go in between now and then. But once we hit the second to last week of May, we will be all Game of Thrones all the way to season 7, which is going to be super fun.
Neil, is this where you tell me that I should prepare for a complete Game of Thrones rewatch?
Yes.
Again.
Here at the house. I also,
just like we do every season for every season of Game of Thrones.
This is also a very Theo thing. I'm going to do a reread as well. but I learned that I don't like reading anymore. So I actually got the audiobook.
Hell yeah.
For the first book. So I'm going to reread, quote, scare quotes around read. I'll be audiobooking.
Re-listening counts as rereading. I mean, processing through your brain is the same thing in my mind. I don't see any difference.
For Dave, are you going to read the books this time around, or are you just going to rewatch it?
I feel like if I read the books this time around, I'm blowing potential storm of spoilers shows where I finally get around to it. And I feel like...
you're blowing, like, next off season?
Yeah, you're blowing the bit where Dave hasn't read anything. Like, yeah, no, I agree.
Like, going into a season that has no book basis, like, I appreciate the effort you guys are going to put into it, and you guys will appreciate my effort sometime in the future.
No, Dave knows. My man know. That's why he laughing. He laughing because he know.
I mean, that's fair. Dave actually, it's in his contract. He's not required to ever read.
That's awesome. I mean, he can do the video stuff and that, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Well, no, you're going to do that shit, Neil.
Over like the next 2 days, I'm going to be speed reading the new Star Wars novel like I always do. So I have my reading priorities.
You get your vices.
I also picked up the audiobook for that. So I'll be listening along with you, Dave.
Timothy Zahn audiobooks. I feel like it is the 90s once again for Star Wars fans. But that is not at all what we are talking about this episode of Storm of Spoilers. We're here to talk about Rick and Morty, which we were holding back until we knew when season 3 would premiere. We did not know that we would just get season 3 on April 1st as what Dan Harmon called, I guess, an April Fool's joke on Harmontown. Because he didn't really get the idea of not telling people that it was going to air and then suddenly airing it. But on April 1st, Comedy Central, Adult Swim, started airing the Rick and Morty season 3 episode 1 on a loop. Until midnight in respective time zones, just out of nowhere. So along with that came the announcement that this summer we will be getting the rest of the Rick and Morty third season, which means they're finally done animating it. It ended up being about a year and a half that Mr. Poopy Butthole actually predicted at the end of season 2, and we were like, no, they'll be faster than that. Well, no.
Surely they won't wait a year and a half to release it.
Well, there was always the Venture Brothers fans among us that were like, year and a half sounds just fine. And so that show will take like 3 year hiatuses, and it's absolutely ridiculous. Not important. Rick and Morty, back. Season 3, didn't really miss a step. Expanded a lot on the existing Rick and Morty universe, and posited a new direction for the show, maybe. But first, let's spin back. There are two previous seasons of this animated sitcom.
What?
I know. It's amazing. I want to hear about when you guys boarded Rick and Morty. Were you pilot, S1E1, t-shirt
Ooh,
wearers?
This is a good question, because I think it would be... We did it together, right?
You and my wife, Kim, watched season 1 together. I was ill that day and was in bed.
What?
And I just kept thinking you guys laughing and hearing these random, like, you know, oh, these Rick voices coming from the living room, and I was like, what the fuck are they watching? And then, like, every once in a while, like, Kim would pop in and check on me because I had the flu or something, and she was like, oh, hey, by the way, we're watching the show Rick and Morty. You really should watch it.
I can't remember who told me that I needed to watch Rick and Morty. But it was someone. It wasn't season 1 episode 1, like, when it was airing. In fact, I think it wasn't until like halfway through, more than halfway through the first season, because I was watching on Hulu and they were dropping episodes one by one.
Yeah, I feel like we got into it probably, and I say we because I rely on all of my media sensibilities from Neil, because he is our roommate, and I think it's probably maybe halfway through season 1.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Like, so we picked it up about halfway through season 1 after somebody told us that it was great, and then yeah, I mean, I feel like since then we've watched every episode of Rick and Morty easily 30 times as a trio, like each individual episode.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah,
for sure.
It's a constant.
Our household has
especially after, like, right after, like, the first and second season were done, like, we were watching those, like, on pretty much infinite rewatch. Like, yeah. we just had them on all the time.
If you could wear out a Hulu subscription, we would have done it.
Yeah.
But you can't, because it's not, it's ethereal.
Like,
it's
that and Bob's Burgers, but that's another episode some other time.
We'll do that next off-season.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's kind of that. That's where we got into it, and then...
Do you remember the actual episode that you remember as your first, or did you guys like jump?
I think we started
the pilot
at the beginning.
Be responsible people.
Yeah, we started the beginning.
Yeah, I started at the pilot. Yeah, it took a little convincing because the pilot's like kind of strange.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Especially if you keep on watching the show, the pilot's kind of like, all right, this is funny, but I don't really get it. And then you keep on watching, it's like, okay, this show's pretty freaking brilliant and
dark.
Kept on going. Yeah. The first episode for me was definitely the pilot.
Oh, it's where he puts the seeds up.
You gotta put them up at your butt, Morty.
See, I was similar. I wasn't super into the pilot. I mean, I thought it was funny. I think I probably would have understood it better had I seen the Doc and Marty short, I did not know anything about until like long after I'd watched the whole first season. But it was really, for me, it was Lawnmower Dog. And I was like, ooh, yeah. This show's really good. Like,
yeah.
Oh, well, God, they did the dog thing. It's amazing.
I think that one-off reference will be my cue to come in. So I've been a big fan of Justin Roiland's sort of side animation. And then Dan Harmon as a show creator. They're the co-creators Rick and Morty. Justin Roiland voices both Rick and Morty and did this short called Doc and Marty. That's basically an obscene take on... Doc and Marty McFly from Back to the Future, but they're obviously the characters that would become Rick and Morty if you YouTube that short. And then I knew that this show was coming because Dan Harmon had talked about it a lot when he was on like his Harmontown tour. So I definitely picked this up being a fan of, I think House of Cosby's is my favorite Justin Roiland project, which is about a guy who clones Bill Cosby's infinitely.
And oh God!
I think it made it like 4 or 5 like 3-minute episodes before Bill Cosby's lawyer got wind of it and shut it down. So it never actually got to come to a conclusion. But House of Cosby's was building to an absurd level as like this animated short.
Wait,
it all.
Dave, was that before or after the allegations came out that they started making the show?
The House of Cosby's.
Yeah.
This is way before. So House of Cosby,
okay,
I want to say,
right,
is the early 2000s ish.
You'd think that Cosby's lawyer would have better things to do.
Well, he does now, certainly. So I'm pretty sure if you Google around House of Cosby's, which I could not recommend highly enough, check that out. That's Justin Roiland's humor. I was like, I want to see this paired with a guy who I knew from Community. So I tuned into the pilot immediately, was like, this is brilliant. But then made the mistake in between the pilot and Lawnmower Dog of trying to show it to people who weren't automatically into both those people and ran across what Neil's telling about, which is that the pilot is really weird. Rick's burps are like not punctuated as well as they, will be for the rest of the series. It definitely feels like an animated pilot. And even though there's some really funny jokes, especially the one where he tells Morty that the bugs are robots, and he shoots him, and his leg comes off, and he's like, I just meant it metaphorically, they're not people to me.
They're bureaucrats, Morty, I don't respect them.
Exactly.
It's been like an ongoing joke in my job, and like I talk about somebody, it's like, I don't know you, but I don't respect you. Like,
yeah. So there was glimmers of that, but it wasn't until like I saw Lawnmower Dog the next week that I was like, okay. And I went back to those same people. I'm like, try this one. And then they were all on board with Rick and Morty. The pilot wasn't like able to do it itself. But I've been, iTunes subscription, watching it and then downloading it the next day to rewatch it since the very beginning. Because it wasn't initially going to be that deep, but I think especially in season 2, they've sort of expanded the sci-fi premise of the show to, it's almost like the Doctor Who level where it could be infinite, but it has rules, but only when we need our hero to break those rules. And I always like really appreciated that aspect of it. And then was sort of charmed against my will at how abrasive, like Rick's voice performance and actions are, just like as an animated character. Since everybody else is, you know, stuck in sitcom mode, and the first season especially makes a big thing of jumping between sci-fi adventure and sitcom family drama, that initially it took me a while to like warm to Rick. Like, maybe, oh, maybe Something Wicked This Way Comes, like way at the end of the season.
Oh, wow.
But where before I was more in it for the Smith family.
They were, well, yeah, and I think
that I was watching for.
I think season one kind of sets you up for that too, with like Meeseeks being sort of the middle episode of the first season, and that is just like, that's the first episode of this kind of animated story structure, because this is a story structure that like other animated shows use, which is A story, B story. I mean, it's not like it's not a super innovative thing, but it's the first one where I was like, oh my god, the B story is way better,
right?
Wait,
and
well,
I mean, like, it's, I think Anatomy Park doesn't have a good A story or B story, but I
disagree,
like,
but okay.
I like all Rick and Morty episodes in the scope of animated television, but in terms of strength of Anatomy Park, I'm more like with Morty on that. I'm not like worried about Rick's giant homeless man or like plugged into that. But even though I'm in the sci-fi plot, it's Morty trying to hit on women while,
right, it's just Morty trying to feel some boob.
But I mean, exactly. Also, like, Dave, are you telling me you don't want to ride Pirates of the Pancreas?
I don't know how rated Pirates of the Pancreas is these days.
How about the Bone Train?
The Bone Train definitely sounds interesting. The idea of an Anatomy Park, I think it should have always existed in a giant space person. That's where the shrinking is where the logic breaks down.
Pearl Harbor.
Then you spend less money on raw materials, I would guess.
Yeah.
Because it's tiny.
Right. Well, because then you can repurpose a lot of the things from inside the body.
I guess it's how it just exists. I don't know how it works. Money to shrink and expand things.
Yeah.
These are the questions that Rick and Morty, you know, gets you to ask.
Well, I feel like, and this is more of a, this is like an essential Dave question, which is, how much does anything cost in the world of Rick and Morty? Because they do a lot of stuff that seems like it would be expensive.
But, well, I mean, that's kind of the thing about, sorry, Dave, I'm gonna cut you off here.
No, good.
Well, no, the thing about Rick and Morty is like cost is pretty, insignificant, because they had the ability to go to like multiple dimensions, just like,
I guess,
know,
that's true.
Take what they want. So like,
I guess they
Rick
do. It's
worries
funny when you think
about
it. They do kind of explain that in the first episode, where he's like, I had to go to this world where I had to have sex with all these young people and wait for my thing,
I mean, yeah,
to recharge.
Like they eat with the portal gun. They easily explain away a lot of the money stuff for sure.
And,
yeah, and then potentially like time. Are you talking about how does the afford things in universe, or how does the show?
No, how does Rick afford things in universe? Yeah, like how does Rick afford anything?
I don't know if Rick really needs to like buy things,
because he just makes things. But how does he buy all the raw materials?
It seems to be like things he just has like hanging around. You know, like he occasionally has to like steal a part or whatnot.
I guess we do see him bartering in the sex bot episode.
Or like sorry, go ahead, Dave.
Oh no, and he did go to buy something at that shop that
right.
Morty ends up getting.
How much did the sex robot cost?
Or what about the Krumbopulous Michael episode when he's
Oh, that's true.
I'm Krumbopulous Michael. I buy guns from your grandfather.
I always forget
about
Rick's underworld
ties. Actually,
arms
dealer is probably exactly the answer. That,
yeah,
that,
okay.
So that sounds correct. Especially now that we know how anti-government Rick actually is. But that I feel, is getting ahead of ourselves.
Right.
Okay, guys, you got to pick a favorite episode of season one, is how we're going to structure this.
Okay.
Whoever goes first is going to be able to be the one to pick 60 Minutes, I'm assuming, unless there's somebody that we know. Neil likes Meeseeks and Destroy. Okay, no, I'm not going to pick four people. I'm going to pick.
Just pick 60 Minutes. Get it out of the way.
60 Minutes. That's how quickly that happened.
I do find it interesting, and I'm sure I'm skipping ahead here, but that when I looked at your lists, that Rixie Minutes is so high and Interdimensional Cable 2 is so low.
Yeah, is there something about the Interdimensional Cable 2 jokes I don't think that work as well?
Fair enough. All right, Theo, you go next. What's your favorite season one episode?
Well, I mean, man, I don't want to like steal anything from anyone, but
just do it.
Rixie Minutes. I mean, is my favorite episode. But if I'm not going to pick one, Dave already picked. I'm going to say Meet, Seek, and Destroy.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one. It's a good one. There's a lot of good ones.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous, and like the A and B plot are both very. Just very good, and I can't go wrong with that.
I would say part of me wants to pick Lawnmower Dog, because Lawnmower Dog is amazing, and it's like the quintessential entry drug episode of Rick and Morty. But I am a fan, and I know this probably isn't a popular choice, but I'm a huge fan of Something Ricked This Way Comes.
Oh, that one's great.
No, it is really good.
Because... like the fact that they got Alfred Molina to play the devil, and some of the shit that they get Alfred Molina to say is really, really funny.
And Rick's trolling of the devil is so good. Like when he's just like the commercial, when he's like, you got some shit that's been cursed and you can't, bring it over here and we'll uncurse it for you. Like,
best so joke. I think the joke of season one that like breaks me every time is the monkey paw joke, where he's like, oh, what a waste of a monkey paw.
Yeah. He's trying to kill himself.
Yeah. So I'm going with Something Ricked, because that is in my easily top three rewatchable Rick and Morty episodes, because it's always the game. Like when I sit down to like watch Rick and Morty now, like I've seen all the episodes a million times, so I always find myself gravitating towards watching that episode again.
Yeah, that's definitely the one that got me. I'm like, okay, I get Rick as a character now, and I'm on his side. He's not just, you know, crazy erratic grandpa.
He just likes to fuck with people.
But yeah, he's just like, this is magic. This store sells magic cursed bullshit. I'm going to just take it down because I can.
Wait, so what are you, the devil?
It just shows Rick that he does have like a code, and his code is just science is amazing. Everything else is bullshit.
Yep. And then what's interesting is the episode after that, which nobody picked, but is an interesting episode from season one, which is Close Rickcounters of the Rick Kind, is the episode that accidentally sets off the mythology that we're currently in, because we get to go to the Citadel of the Ricks and we learn about the relationship of a Rick and a Morty, how the Morty masks the Rick's brainwaves.
The Morty waves.
The Morty waves.
Morty waves.
So... This is one of the things I wanted to ask you about, Dave, because you, I think, follow the production and listen to Harmontown a lot more closely than I do. So when you say accidentally, I mean, is that it truly was an accident that they created this mythology?
I don't think it was an accident, but what happened was they had... like an idea in their mind of a backstory, which I think has to do with like evil Morty might have at one time been like the original Morty to the Rick that we saw, and like might have jumped around. But whatever it was, they went on the internet and they're like, Reddit figured it out like, you know, 3 weeks after the episode aired. So like, we're not doing that. But at one point there was, you know, or maybe they are still doing it. They said that, you know, we're dissuaded from following that path for a while. But so there was sort of like this greater, yeah, like, aha, gotcha. But after, you know, Reddit sort of got Close Encounters of the Rick Kind, they approached season two with a much more like go for the joke, go for the character sort of structure. So it sort of accidentally became a building thing, because it looks like from season three, we're returning to some of the world building elements that started there with this abandoned plot. And so who knows if we're going to get that version of it, or if we're gonna get a new version of it. Like, you know, Bird Person didn't exist at the time that this mythology was doing. He was, you know, devised for Rixie Business the next episode. So it's an interesting episode, and will remain interesting as the show goes on and has like its own sort of internal mythology, because I don't think it, whatever we get is going to be anything close to what they planned. I don't think, like, if they tried to do a Lost, they have abandoned trying to beat the internet at outsmarting each other.
I will say I do have many questions about Evil Morty that they need to answer before. But now that we've seen, and this is jumping way ahead, but I mean, they're going to do 1,000 years, so I mean, eventually they're going to get to it, right?
Pretty sure we'll get back to Evil Morty at some point.
Yeah,
hopefully. Find out more about him.
Okay, so we should do season two now, right?
Yeah, we should do season two.
Go
first, Neil.
I'll go first. And I think that my season two choice is probably different than everybody else. Maybe. I think I'm just a sucker for a good guest star, because the Ricks Must Be Crazy is good. And also it's really good on a sci-fi level of like, of being like just a bottle episode of just crazy, where it's like, it answers a question nobody knew that we had, which was, how does Rick power his spaceship? And it answers it in the most bonkers ass Rick and Morty way, which is like, there's a world inside of a world inside of a world that is enslaved to Rick's car. Also
the spider bit is so funny, and that whole thing with like the
whole summer keep summer safe thing is right up there with the Meeseeks.
Try to ignore any thoughts that seem spidery. Like at the end, like when they make the truce to this, but yeah, it's such a ridiculous episode. Yep. It spans so much. Yeah, it's a good pick.
You ruined ice cream with your stupid boobs. All right, Dave, what's your favorite?
Well, I gotta pick here. Total Recall.
I feel like, I mean, it has to be for you.
I mean, I like the idea of at the end you have to kill everything you only have good memories of. Like, that being the end of a sci-fi conceit is genius, and getting there as efficiently as it does so that you're on board with that joke when it starts happening is like a production writing feat that's great. And then it all takes place in the house, so it could have been a bottle episode in the sense they didn't have to pay a bunch of people to do a whole bunch of exotic backgrounds. But instead, they decided to make like 62 different weird-ass characters that had to be character-designed and animated. So it probably ended up being like a wash in terms of production costs, but I love it even more for that.
It also feels like another one of those like essential Dan Harmon episodes, like the whole idea of that you have to kill everything that you only have good memories of.
Right.
Like, those are the moments where you're like, oh, Dan Harmon had a couple passes on this one.
Well, it has a quintessential Dan Harmon thing like that, but then it also has Mr. Poopy Butthole, which is the most Justin Roiland thing that's ever been on the show from pure idea Justin Roiland standpoint. So it's great to have like both of them at the forefront with that humor.
Mr. Poopy Butthole. He's very lemon grab. All right, before we got on air, we rewatched the finale of season two, and when he shows up at the end, I was like, man, he really is very like the design of him. It's like the thing about Lemon Grab from Adventure Time, also voiced by Justin Roiland, for those not familiar, was that it looked like fabric pulled over and like tied down. It's like Mr. Poopy Butthole. It doesn't look like he has like skin. It looks like he's like covered in like a fabric.
It's like this horrifying figure in front of you. Yeah.
So, all right. Anyway, Theo, what's your favorite episode of season two?
Look Who's Purging Now is what I went with.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Little Tony.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing that's cracked me the hell up, but also, like, it's it's very anti-capitalist. And then I think, like, the nature of, like, them just, like, going after The Purge, because, like, The Purge is, like, it was a popular-ish movie. It wasn't, like, a cultural, like, you know, I don't know what the word would be there.
It's not at the high end of the zeitgeist.
Yeah, it's not like you're parodying Alien or something like that, but they parodied The Purge, and they just like keep on referencing The Purge, and like if you watch all the Purge movies like I have, it's like full of references to The Purge.
Yeah.
And so for me personally, it was incredibly funny.
I also do like the idea that like the idea of a purge planet like that being a thing that's sort of like Rick's not surprised.
In some ways, it's called Murder Night,
right? Yeah. Like it's that notion is sort of universal. That eventually we get to the point where like one night crimes. A year, yeah. Everybody gets that's killed.
It's the only way it's solvable. Yeah, it's really funny.
Is this the most relevant episode of Rick and Morty now?
I mean, most likely.
Well, it is in the sense that if you guys want to hear my screenplay, it has a 3 weeks earlier title card in it. That's probably my favorite joke from that episode. That's Rob Schraub.
Dude, yeah, the whole thing when they meet the guy in the White House who has the...
Yeah, and then that's what breaks Morty, is that he just can't tell the guy his screenplay is good after all that.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that we've outlined our favorite episodes from the first two seasons, we have a bigger question to answer, which is if you had to pick a character from within the show. I originally wrote in the notes Rickstiverse, but as Dave so kindly pointed out, that it implies that there's so much more, because then you involve the Pocket Morty's game, the Rickstiverse Instagram game, basically all the other things. The comic books. So just from within the show, from within the things that most likely we can assure that all the people listening have actually seen, if you had to pick one character to go portal traveling with, who would it be? We'll start with Theo.
Mr. Goldenfold.
Yeah? Goldenfold? Yeah.
And to me, he seems like he rolls with the punches. You know, he just kind of has a pretty good attitude in general. You know, it's not Jamba Juice, but, you know, he's going to get something anyway. Yeah, he seems like he'd be a pretty good guy to, like, if you're going to go, like, you know, just road tripping, if you were. You mm-hmm. know, he'd be a pretty good guy to have with you because he wouldn't cause that many problems.
All right.
So.
All right. All right, Dave, who are you taking with you with the portal gun?
Squanchy.
Whoa.
Ooh,
gonna squanch.
It'd be a party, and we could, you know, get our squanch on, and then if things went bad, he could go super squanch and save my life, get me the squanch out of there.
Sounds like a pretty squanch and good time.
Yeah, I've heard he's got the best squanch, too. He's got really good squanch.
If you could just keep him from squanching for long enough, you could get that good squanch.
I'm tempted to just do the whole final segment of this show with using squanch contextually and see if people figure it out.
Yeah, I'd love to see you lose some listeners, Neil. That'd be great.
this is the episode where Stormer Spoilers really lost a bunch of listeners. Oh, it's my turn. Okay, let's see. So, I'm tempted to, for the sake of, as people who follow my writing know, I have listened to every director's commentary on every episode.
Me too.
Theo was there too. Of Rick and Morty. And there is always a summer joke. Like, there's always a weird, inappropriate Justin Roiland summer joke. So I'm tempted to say Summer, because, I mean, why wouldn't she want to bring along Summer? But I really think that I would want to go with Rick's computer. Like, I just want the ship.
It's kind of a cheat, but all right.
I mean, it sort of. But then again, the computer still has to go through portals and stuff. So I would definitely want to go with Rick's computer, because Rick's computer is awesome.
It can keep you safe.
Yeah.
And maybe have a map of where you're going, which would be...
That might be helpful.
Important.
Yeah.
If we're staying in character.
Right. Yeah. In universe. Yeah,
if you care about that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, also, as we learn in the finale of season two, Rick's computer also comes in a pocket-sized thing and can calculate how many planets are like Earth.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know if I'd be on the run from the Galactic Federation, so I could be able to go to, like, any of them.
Yeah, you wouldn't just have to go to the Screaming Sun planet.
Right. Oh, also, before we move on to talking about the Season 3 premiere, I have... My great unanswered question from the first two seasons of Rick and Morty is, what's so bad about everything being on a cob?
That's, I mean, if you have to ask, you don't know.
That was what I told him too. Neil's a cobite, apparently.
Yeah. So that's my big unanswered question coming out of season two. Did you guys have like a biggest unanswered question before you saw season three?
I've kind of stopped asking questions with Rick and Morty and just kind of watching.
That's true. So then you let it watch over you.
I mean, there was a good period of time there in between seasons 2 and 3 that I was trying to figure out, like, which universe, if we were seeing other universes, Rick and Morty's in episodes. Like, if we've been 2 seasons with the same Rick and Morty, or if each episode potentially has a different Rick and Morty. Because there are only so many episodes where they identify a universe or reference something specifically that happened in a universe. So if you start drawing that web, there are some pocket episodes that could be like, meh. And could be other under universes, Rick and Morty's.
Yeah, or like, have you ever looked? Question, but... Have you ever looked in the background, like if you can see into the backyard to see if you can see the graves of the original Rick and Morty or the Rick and Morty they replaced?
Yeah, actually, I think they said it on one of the season 2 commentaries. Dan Harmon's really big about updating the house, so every time something happens to the house or its grounds, it becomes part of the model. So the crack from teleporting out at the end of season 1 is always going to be there. I don't think we've seen the top of the garage in season 3. We might at the very end. But the top of the garage, it has a hole that's boarded up from when sent the
probe
portal up.
The Iron Man thing.
The Iron Man thing to the suits.
And, I love that.
So they're apparently going to keep updating the house damage as they do damage to the house, which would imply that if they're thinking about that, if we ever don't see those things, we don't know what universe we're in.
I love the way there's constantly just that giant crack around the outside of the house where it was transported in the last episode of season 1.
Yep. Although you have to wonder how the plumbing got reconnected.
You don't have to.
you don't have to. I mean, at all.
That's a pretty good point, actually. All right, cool.
Sorry if I don't worry about these cartoons that much, but anyway.
Speaking of, let's worry about this cartoon a little bit more.
Cool. So now we should move on to talking about the big surprise of April.
Yeah, we got to see the season 3 premiere of Rick and Morty.
So I have a funny story about this. So one of my friends, I texted him. I was like, hey, like, you know, they put up the Rick and Morty season 3 premiere on Cartoon Network or on Adult Swim. And he was like, dude, I'm not falling for this shit. It's an April Fool's joke. I'm not going to buy into this. That's really messed up. You're trying to be a part of it. I can't believe you're doing this. And I was like, no, I'm seriously, like, I'm watching it right now. You should turn it on. Like, you should watch it later or something. And he was like, dude, no, man, I'm not going to, like, just, you know, be let down. And it wasn't until the next morning he finally believed me. And, like,
did he miss it?
Well, no, because they kept on reshowing it.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Because
they played it all day. Yeah.
He may or may not have found it on a not so legitimate website, but
I actually didn't catch it until very late in the day. It was like 11:15 local time. So like I got into it and it was like the middle of the episode, because even the online stream was just looping and like there wasn't like a rewind. It wasn't like a streaming thing. So I like watched the back half of the episode and then went back in and then it looped around and then it was just over because I watched the last one.
Yeah,
you got the last one.
Well, they also they re-aired it every night at like 9 or something like that.
Oh, they did?
On Adult Swim for that week. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
But
I would have watched it again.
It was the same thing with me and Kim. Like we timed it just in time to like watch like the it was either an hour before the last hour or the last hour. Like we watched that one.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Dave, you probably caught it earlier in the day.
No, actually, I was working on another project and started getting like Twitter mentions from like Joanna and Matt Patches being like, where's Dave? I'm like, where's Dave what? And then I was like, goddamn 2017. I can't go away from my fucking computer for 30 minutes without something changing my entire worldview or media intake. And so I texted some people like, you know, DVR it in case, like, because I didn't know what was happening. And then eventually I figured out through Twitter it was looping and online. So I managed to, you know, like finish up on schedule and come back. But I also didn't get to it until like 10 or 11 my time. Just out of, you know, if I wasn't prepared. The same thing's going to happen to me with Star Wars this weekend. is Celebration's going to have something I'm not expecting. And I'm going to be like, get up, going to the bathroom, refilling my soda. And they're going to be like, oh, trailer's online now. And that's going to be it. My 30 seconds. I'm going to lose out those 30 seconds.
Yeah, it sucks, man. All of us important people like can't get stuff as soon as we need to because we're too busy with other important stuff. Like, we're just like...
They need to tell us stuff in advance.
We're so hyper-important.
I thought that they would have made... Like, I'm glad that they did make a big deal out of it, and if you're watching it on TV, all the interstitials were Rick and Morty-themed and new, and they had announced that it was the rest of it was coming this summer. So I'm glad they like planned out a big rollout. I think it's like the when they said they had the season 3 trailer and it ended up being the Rickroll cut up from the different seasons. I assumed like your friend at Theo that it was going like I was going to tune in and see like something weird that they had made, but it wasn't an actual episode. So getting the episodes good, it does make you wonder like what sort of delivery schedule they're having that they had this for long enough to like prep it for this sort of rollout, but we also have to wait a few months for the rest of it. Back in my day of a few years ago when Legend of Korra was coming out, they would just be like, hey, surprise, the rest of the season's coming like next week. And we wouldn't know it. So it kind of felt like that, but I guess Rick and Morty is too big of a property to waste a big rollout. And as we saw with the demand now for McDonald's Szechuan sauce, like actually penetrating actual McDonald's.
Can I get that Mulan sauce, Morty?
Yeah, that they were right. They were able to make a cultural event out of one episode.
Do you think maybe they just like were? How far in advance would you guesstimate that they knew that they were going to do this? You know, like did they finish episode one specifically long before they finished everything else?
I mean, that's possible that they did get this, or that this episode came back and because it had been worked on for longer than the rest, just through production, it was quicker to polish. Definitely with animated shows, you send them off to get animated, but then if they come back, if you have any mistakes, you have to like send them off again. That's why The Simpsons takes forever, because that goes to like Korea or something. Rick and Morty isn't like foreign, I believe, but it does have a separate group doing the frame by frame. So quality control has held up animated shows in the past, so I could definitely see that they like started delivering or delivered this episode or maybe like three episodes, but then like hit a production snag and they didn't want to, you know, start rolling out in case that production snag went off. So I'm pretty sure now that we have a finished date, they have their hands on what they consider final cuts of all the episodes.
That makes sense.
Otherwise, they're taking a production risk, which I would not take as a large television company.
But they did, in doing this, in giving us the Rickshank Redemption, which I just looked up was its actual title, they answered a number of questions, which I guess the number one, and this is, I guess, one of the things that surprised me was how quickly they got Rick out of prison. Like, I thought that was going to be like a multi-episode arc, but like, then again, that's not really Rick and Morty's style, if you think about it. Like, things wrap up very quickly in that universe. Well,
yeah, that show, I feel like that show wouldn't be very good if they would have left Rick in prison. Unless, like, they really wanted to do, like, a bit with him being in prison. Like, but when they showed at the end of the last season, like, prison was basically, like, literally being, like, strapped to, like, this thing, and you just hang out there. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, so prison's not really a bit. It's like, it just sucks.
Right.
I feel like that meant that, like, they were going to get him out relatively quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, they did answer some questions, but I think maybe we start with initial thoughts on this. Like, how does it make you feel?
Good. Makes me feel good. I feel like there wasn't a, you know, a loss of quality. They have a new expanded writing staff this season that includes many more females, which is good, and hopefully we see that, you know, reflected in care. I think we definitely see the ability to have Beth finally leave Jerry. And Summer, you know, kind of take a proactive position is like a maybe an example of more of that. And I think they have the potential to do something semi-serial, more slightly more serialized than what they've been doing, but also not lose the week-to-week craziness because they've settled into this portal gun. And then they also, they settled into the portal gun part of the mythology while like basically giving us fake answers or breaking other parts. So government's gone. As soon as it like took over Earth, government's gone, and then has to like launch. The Citadel of Rix is gone. And as far as we know, Rix basically executed a plan from when he left Tiny Planet to become the most powerful being in the universe. So all previous, like I was saying, all previous rules are now capable of being broken by Rick. But they did keep in certain parts of the mythology that allow for more and more expansion. So like the fact that we got to see, albeit a fake origin story for Rick's portal gun, means that like even being like teased with that idea means we could go back there, but then also the way it resolves, where of course that was fake and Rick made it up, means that it also wouldn't be out of character for the show to just never give us that answer.
Right, like evil Morty. It's just never, yeah. They're just never going to address it.
I mean, it's possible, but then it's also possible that evil Morty, you know, comes back. He's just not a plot key. He's, you know, something else. He's a crutch for Jerry, or, you know, tries to take Morty C-137's place so that the Rickiest Rick and the evilest Morty, or the Rickiest Morty, like, are in the same universe. So who they could go in that direction, but then it becomes this, like, a serialized animated show, and it also feels like, you know, ending on a ranting Rick over Morty on the ground like the pilot does. Sort of feels like, you know, the way season one ended, where Rick just like flipped off the camera. He's like, "That's season one." it could just be that show at the beginning of episode two and not go back to any of these things. But the fact that they took an episode to sort of answer some of these questions, like, is that Rick C-137? Like, what's up with the Citadel of Rix? What's up with the government? What happened to Earth after the Galactic Federation, you know, took it over? Dealing with that right off the bat was something I wasn't expecting. I thought they were going to do like an In Rick's Brain episode, because like, the way that they had him hooked up at the end in the prison, which is actually how they started. They just got out of Shoney's faster by intercutting.
All wish that we could have gotten out of a Shoney's faster at one point in our life?
Dave, and you have to refresh my memory here, because I unfortunately did only get to see the new episode once, but did they actually say that Rick, that the backstory for how he got the portal gun was made up?
He says that it's a made up backstory, and there are parts of it where you could see him, he's the first time you see it, it looks like he's mourning, but you realize later that he's focusing on making up the fake equation in the garage. So there are hints that that isn't real, but it could have degrees of being real.
Like there's like thematic truth to it about how he left.
Like someone could have dropped a bomb through a portal and blown up Beth's mom. But it also could have been Morty. It, you know, also could have had nothing to do with the portal gun. We don't know, yeah, to what degree any of that was
It true. Also could turn out to be not important.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, yeah, but I do feel like that's one thing this like show has tried to bring in slowly, is the idea of like Rick having a very dark and sad backstory.
Well, yeah, and like the stuff that you see in the episode where Morty visits Bird Person in Gishwifty, right?
That's mainly what
where he takes off with the portal gun, and it's like, wait, who's
I don't know what humans eat. You know what this one eats.
but like you see, like they are planting. It's funny to me that they've gone through so much effort to plant these little weird seeds about like there is more to the story of like why Rick left and like Rick's connection to this Morty, or like did Rick lose his Morty and he picked up another one. It's weird that they keep coming back to that. Part of me is like, there's some sort of really fun, clever long game that they're playing. The rest of me is like, Dan Harmon is messing with us. So I still don't know. Like, we're about to start season three in full force. Still have no idea if they're messing with us.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Or like the question of just where did Rick go when he left Beth and his family, and did the same Rick come back?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that might be a question that nobody ever, that we don't need to have answered. But if they decided to answer it, that would like immediately pop out of the episode for me, mm-hmm. because that's, yeah, the backstory of that is peeking out in little sides. And even like little things like when in Rick Potion number 9, when they just find a new universe and he's like, you only get to do this once or twice. And it's like, well, what does that mean? Was that once or was that twice?
Yeah.
I do think, though, what's interesting, or what was really interesting about the season 2 finale and then is now interesting going forward in season 3, is how do they, like, they broke some things that cannot be easily fixed. So, like, they broke Earth, basically.
Right.
So, like, Earth had, at the end of last season, was taken over by the Galactic Federation, whatever they're called, the bug people.
Galactic government, yeah.
Yeah. So Earth was taken over by the Galactic government, and then now it's not? So what happens to Earth? I think the funniest thing would be if they start season 2 with, like, everything's back. Like, with Summer Donald and Morty are, like, back in school. Some ridiculous,
like, Donald Trump getting elected president. It should start with something stupid like that that never really happened.
Something completely,
you know?
Yeah. Out there.
Well, that was one of the funny things I think about season 3, episode 1, is one of his memories outside of the Shonies is where he was on 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just, like, weird, because usually stuff isn't that specific a reference to, like, our universe.
Yeah, he's, like, on the phone, like...
He's just muttering, like, no, no, oh, my God, it can't be.
Yeah, he's on his phone in the apartment, just like, are you watching this? Oh, my, oh, no. Like, so fucked up.
Like, Rick Sanchez, the most powerful being in the universe, is, like, standing there helplessly watching 9/11 happen, just like the rest of us. But, you know, maybe that was a fake memory, too.
I will say, like, after watching this episode, though, like, it immediately jumped up and, like, one of the best episodes of the show I've ever seen. I thought it was really good.
It was good until they did the Mulan Szechuan sauce thing, and then it became amazing.
Okay, I was about to say, like, are you saying it got bad after that?
No, like the because I think it just it's one of those episodes where it's like they lead you down this path where they're like, we're answering a bunch of questions, we're creating a bunch of situations, all of this is so consequential, and then it's just like, Rick wants to stop and get chicken nuggets from 1994.
Yeah.
And it's like, or 1998 or whatever it was, and it's like, oh, I'm still watching Rick and Morty. Like, they're not here to just answer questions and have everything matter.
But yeah.
Or then it comes back to that at the end after he makes everything matter. So he's right. Like, I took out Jerry. I took out the government. No one could come to you. Also, the Szechuan sauce. And it's like, all right, good. Still Rick and Morty.
I also really loved the way he took out the government was by bringing the currency down to zero.
Right.
And then nobody knew what to do. Like,
right.
Yeah, like, as an anti-capitalist myself, like, that, like,
I think we're finding where Theo finds deeper meaning in Rick and Morty.
But, like, kind of the anarchic anti-capitalist, like, bent to this episode was really funny to me. Like, just kind of this guy's like, all right, yeah, watch this.
Yeah, it is great because it shows Rick, because, you know, at the end of season 2, it shows Rick is like this sort of militant, this terrorist, essentially, that he's been, like, fighting in these wars.
I call him revolutionary.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's a revolutionary against the bureaucrats. But
he doesn't respect them.
But this shows that he's just way smarter than everybody. Like, it's another one of those, like, Rick moments. Like, it's the one where David Cross was the alien.
Oh, M. Night Shyamalan's.
Shyamalan's. But the show does these things where it's like, you believe that there's, like, this real world and there's real consequences and there's real other powers out there that, but no, Rick's just smarter than all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they call him the smartest man in the universe a couple of times. Other characters, not him. And so that's an interesting line to take to just be like, yes, this is, you know, fart the god being might be more powerful in his other dimension, but this is the smartest person that we're ever going to see on this show.
Mm-hmm. On that note, I got to take a shit.
Oh, yeah. Can't come up with any better excuse, but why would it? Why, he doesn't need to. It's going to be interesting to see like him coming up, like just turning into a pickle for the hell of it. It's interesting that like we're going to go from Rick is the smartest being in the entire universe. Look at these stupid adventures he gets himself on, mm-hmm. which I think is what I'm looking forward to in season 3, which I think we should pivot to and ask my other co-host that question. Theo, what do you got hopes for season 3?
I mean, so I'm not going to pretend to have any idea where they're going. you know, so the after credit scene with Phoenix person, yeah, and mm-hmm. Tammy, like, I am hoping for some sort of, like, weird, like, a bird person arc with some sort of, maybe a redemption, who knows? that sounds fun to me. I really see what happens to Jerry. I can see it's going a lot of really funny, possibly very dark places. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm still... So, you know, like, in the credits, they have the Cthulhu creature chasing after Rick and his spaceship?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I still want to see the Cthulhu story. I want to see what happens there.
Like, you think that there are things in the opening that could show up as season 3 episodes?
Well, they've done that a couple times.
Yeah, that's true.
Off the top of my head, I can't remember, but there have been a couple things they showed in the opening that ended up showing up in later episodes. I still want to see the Cthulhu story, but... Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I had any idea where they're going with this. I think they're going to go on a more, like you were talking about, Dave, I think it's going to be more like a character bent, kind of like a arc idea mm-hmm. with a lot of this stuff. But what that's going to be is beyond me. Like, they're doing some shit I haven't seen before in this show. It's not something I'm familiar with. It's not something I can predict.
Yeah, we don't get a lot of anti-hero comedy that isn't just despicable. I'm thinking of Family Guy when I say that.
quote unquote comedy, yeah. Yeah.
this one that like actually does like the, you know, or could potentially do like a Walter White on our perception of the characters, but also be something crazy every half an hour. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Neil, season 3 hopes.
I have actually just two bold predictions. Because if... I'm starting to feel the Game of Thrones coming back, so Neil Stradamus is starting to rise within me. it could also be acid reflux, but we'll see. But I have two big predictions. One, the Phoenix person Tammy thing is only going to last one more episode. Like, there's no way they bring that back, and it's like the big bad for the whole season. That's just like next episode, that's going to be gone. Two, Beth and Jerry will be together when this season ends. Again, there's no way they've been. That is the running joke that they have beaten all the way down, and it always ends with Beth and Jerry, like a bunch of idiots, getting back together.
Also, I do love when they ended up back in the Cronenberg dimension mm-hmm. and Beth and Jerry, and like Jerry's like super fucking alpha. Like, that was so funny. Like, can be like, that was incredible.
Yeah. It's pretty great. All right, Dave, what are your hopes, dreams, and predictions for season 3?
Yeah. I want this to be a big year for Jerry. I'm definitely with Theo on that. Okay, let me be slightly more meta. This is the year where we're going to get some weird gimmicky episode besides whatever they decide to turn Interdimensional Cable into. Be it a bottle episode, be it an episode that's only about Jerry, be it a Meanwhile on Squanch World episode. A
poopy butthole episode.
I'm looking for a hard left turn somewhere here that is undeniably Rick and Morty, but is not focused on Rick and Morty. I think... Season 3 has built the supporting character structure and the supporting idea structure to that we would accept that as much as we accept things like Rixie Minutes or the improvised clip shows, which I would prefer they don't do, but I think they will. I think it's like Community paintball episodes. You gotta ring that bell once every,
you almost
like,
have
every
to.
Once in a while.
Do you think they do an episode that you liked, or they do like a troll episode like South Park? with like the Terrence and Phillip episode.
Terrence and Phillip one. I think it's going to end up being a dark horse that I like. It really depends on what it centers on, as into how much everybody else is going to like it. But like the moment that the galactic currency goes from 1 to 0, I would watch a whole episode about that with new characters because I'm that kind of nerd. But I think if we do get something like a flashback episode or an Evil Morty episode, then everybody's going to be like, that was when the season, or that's when the series tried something.
Yeah, like with a Mr. Poopy Butthole episode where the currency goes down and he like loses his health insurance because the currency's been destroyed and he can't go to rehab anymore. And like, obviously like any sort of disability he was on from his job is gone. Mm-hmm. And he can't order pizza anymore. He can't dance around in it. And, oh, man.
Man, tough.
You're just writing fan fiction right now. You should finish that up.
Probably not.
Type 3X.
Dave, I'm an exceptionally lazy person. I'm not going to do that at all. But, you know,
we'll watch it.
It's out there, though. You know, it's I don't consider it my intellectual property. So anybody take that and go with it. Send it to me. I might read it. Who knows?
Nice.
Cool. Well, guys, Neil, we have you've talked about the Game of Thrones we have coming up, but we still have these 5 episodes of other off-season goodness coming up.
We sure do.
That people can tune into and not worry about skipping around Game of Thrones spoilers for once.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go 4 quadrant. What do you have for me next week?
Next week, Joanna will be back. Sorry, Theo.
No, I'm sorry to everybody that listened to me. thank you.
But Joanna will be back, and we will be talking movies. We will be meeting a furious fate with the fate of the furious.
Rad.
Yeah, ride or die and family and all that.
Right.
I think I'm like 2 behind. No. 1 behind. I'm 1 behind.
You're behind on the Fast and the Furious series?
I didn't see the Paul Walker dying one. Why would I? I just watched that music video where they drove so next sad. To each other.
That one rules.
It does.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll be talking Fast and the Furious. We'll talk, you know, the whole franchise, and then of course the new movie comes out this weekend. So if you want to have some homework, go see Fast Fate of the Furious. It's got Charlize Theron in it. How bad could it possibly be?
Let's find out together. But until then, Theo, thank you so much for joining us.
Dave, Neil, thank you guys for having me on.
And plug your podcast again so people know where to get your baseball goodness.
Oh, yeah. It's the High and Outside baseball podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at a baseball pod. You can also follow me on Twitter at one more Rick. If you want to listen to that.
This is the perfect episode to lay down what your Twitter handle is.
Fantastic. And Mr. Neil Miller.
You can get me over at filmschoolrejects.com. You can listen to me talking probably some Star Wars later this week. I'm probably going to rope Dave into it if schedules work out on One Perfect Pod.
And, I'm also available, Neil.
The Theo, also, you were on my Spider-Man episode.
I was, yeah.
But also, I've got a big summer preview coming on One Perfect Pod this week as well. So you can also make sure you follow me at Rejects on Twitter. Follow the show at Storm of Spoilers. Email us, stormofspoilers@gmail.com. Wow, I almost forgot our email address.
How could you ever forget your social media?
I don't know.
I know that.
Email us if you have thoughts, questions, comments, Rick and Morty things, Fast and Furious things for next week. If you just want to say nice things, make sure you go on iTunes and leave us a review.
Perfect. Yeah. 5 stars, say anything. That's my motto. Got to game the metric. I'm Dave Gonzalez. Spell my first name, DA7E. That's also my Twitter handle. You could go there to get tweets to my writing, like my most recent one about crazy McDonald's commercials, because I'm doing the important journalism.
Because of Szechuan sauce.
While I'm being, like, beaten by the news cycle, so that I'm going to be so emotionally fragile that Friday when we get a Last Jedi trailer, I'm going to have to cry a little bit. I'm kind of tearing up just thinking about it. I'm going to hear the Skywalker theme, and I'm going to see some lightsaber twirling. And you know, I was fine with it before our press secretary forgot about the Holocaust, and now
this guy.
So, until next week, guys, where we will be taking on some car franchises and punching torpedoes, apparently. Have a good one.
I am.
It's nice. Mild. It was a mild sign.